Hi, friends, and welcome to The Geode, your guide to modern wellness and woo. I'm your host, Stephanie Wood. I'm a mom, a veteran, and a modern mystic, and I'm on a mission to create an inclusive wellness community. A few years ago, I found myself drawn to the world of spirituality, and I loved it. But I also felt really self-conscious about what I didn't know yet. I didn't feel comfortable asking questions or showing up to certain events, and I definitely never heard or saw anyone with a voice like mine. Someone who's grounded, relatable, approachable, really funny, and also really witchy. And that's why I created this podcast. On the podcast, we're going to cover everything from astrology to crystal healing, energy work, human design, and even tantric Ayurveda, all from the perspective of relevant practitioners and thought leaders. I wanted to create a safe place for you to learn more about these contemplative and mystical practices and offer a variety of information so you get to decide what resonates with you on your own terms. I hope that you love it because I love you. I'm really excited because today on the podcast, we have Jess Babico. She's an intuitive medium and human design specialist who really focuses on helping guide individuals back to their intuitive gifts and owning their intuitive gifts. And I'm very excited to have you on the show. Did I say your name correctly?
You did. Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect. Yeah.
It's like my biggest fear. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Cool. So my first question is, what is it you say you do?
That's a really great question. Somebody asked me this the other day. I'm like, I don't really know. I just do what I do. But I'm an intuitive medium and I'm a human design specialist. So I really specialize in helping people understand and awaken, number one, to who they are. That's what I use human design for, is who are you? Who did you come here into this world to be? And number two, awaken to their intuition. How does your intuition speak to you on a day-to-day basis? How do you connect in and understand the way that your higher self, your intuition's leading and guiding you? And then I talk a lot about manifestation as well, and really understanding how we use our thoughts and our emotions and our energy to manifest and create that which we desire. Because truthfully, I believe in a world where we march to the beat of our own drum and we follow our hearts.
Cool. And where do you see the advantage? So if someone's listening and they're, you know, wondering like, what is the value in finding that? Oh, that's so funny. Actually, that's what my mom used to say about me when I was little, that I marched to the beat of my own drum.
Did she?
So if someone's listening and they're saying, what are the benefits of being someone who finds their beat and follows it? What do those results look like?
Definitely deeper satisfaction, deeper fulfillment in your life. I think that when we're marching to the beat of our own drum, when we're listening to ourselves, when we're trusting ourselves, we have more abundance flowing into our lives in whatever way abundance looks for you, whether it's financial abundance or relationship abundance, career abundance, whatever it may be. We find more abundance in our lives. We find more fulfillment. We find more joy. We find more love. And we're bringing our gifts to the table because I truly believe everyone is here for a reason and we all have something to contribute. And so I find that when people are in their unique gifts, again, fulfillment, abundance, joy, connection, I think it makes the world a better place to live.
That's awesome. I've had someone on before, but I love human design, but I still don't even understand it. I'm curious about how do you explain human design and how do you explain intuition?
Yeah, great question. So human design is a system that pulls together astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the Kabbalah, chakra system, and quantum physics. And what it is it lays out a manual of who you are. So it's going to lay out a manual of who Stephanie is. It's going to look at how does your engine run? How are you meant to, what's your purpose? How are you meant to make decisions? How does your energy work? Are you somebody who's here to work 9 to 5? Are you here somebody who has more inconsistent energy and maybe isn't here to work in that way? So what it's going to do is the way I always explain it to people is when you were born, if your mom was a Hummer and your dad was a BMW, they took their manuals and they gave them to you. And they were like, here's how your life should run. And here's how you should do things. And here's the manual to the car. And on the Hummer and the BMW, the windows went down by pressing the thing on the center console. And you got your car and you keep trying to turn the window down on the center console because you're some mix between a BMW and a Hummer, but it's not working for you. And what you start to discover through your human design is that you're actually a Ferrari and that your windows, yeah, it's not working to turn down the windows in the same way that it worked for your parents because your butt window button is over on the door. So what it's going to do is it's going to help you get out of, it moves out of, it deconditions you from who you think you're supposed to be. And it just supports you in understanding who you actually are so you can live in alignment with that. It's the manual for your car. It's the manual for your life.
I love that explanation. I understand that. And as you're saying it, I'm thinking about my personal experiences where I get very frustrated. So I know I'm a generator with sacral authority and my thing is frustration. Like when I'm, and so the analogy that you gave seems really fitting to me because I feel like I have this idea of what I want to do or what I feel like I'm supposed to do. And then when it doesn't work out, I just feel like I'm bumping into all these walls trying to figure it out. And I'm like, why is none of this working? So what about the human design helps an individual, like what in that manual helps an individual open up to what is more within how they should operate? Like literally it'll say, you should be somebody who works with people. This is how your energy responds. Like, can you give some examples of within the manual, how that helps an individual feel more in alignment with what they're trying to do?
Yeah, definitely. So number one, these charts can be, we can look at them in a very general way and we can look at your human design type and we can look at your human design strategy. So you just said it perfectly. You're a generator and you have sacral authority. Okay. I'm a manifester and I have emotional authority. My, if I was to look at you and you and I were friends and you said to me, so you're designed, you're somebody who's designed to be a master builder. That means that you like to likely cross your T's and dot your I's. Maybe you don't always do it perfectly, but you may want to make more so follow the steps and do things a little bit more methodically because you want to build it and you want to build it well. Even like this podcast, right? You had great organization. You're like, here's the date. Here's the thing. Here's the microphone you use. Here's the other thing, right? You laid it all out. You're meant to do things in that way. You have sacral authority, which means you're here to trust your gut. Okay. If you and I were friends and I was at a point in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do or how I wanted to do it, and you and I were really close and I came up to you and I'm like, hey, I'm really struggling right now. As humans, because we're all self-centered, and I don't mean that in a way of like you're self-centered, but like we are centered on ourselves because we know ourselves. You might say to me, well, Jess, you kind of like have these bursts of energy where you have a lot of energy towards one thing. And then you kind of change directions and you have a burst of energy towards something else. Like, why don't you just stick with one thing? And like, you really need to just trust your gut on what you want. That's not how I'm designed to work. And so I might try to be more like Stephanie. I might be like, she's right. I should just pick one thing and I should just stick with it. And I should just grind it out. And, you know, I should trust my gut. Well, the bottom line is I have emotional authority. And that means that I have this thing called an emotional wave, which means I had an idea on Monday come in. This is a perfect example. Went for a 3-hour ride through the mountains. I just moved to Colorado and it's beautiful and it's relaxing. And I said, I had all these downloads come through as I'm driving, just these ideas. And then I was like riding this high. And then yesterday I was like, oh my God, I can't do that. I went down the other side. And luckily, because I know myself, I know that that is a hallmark of that's how the emotional wave works. And this morning I woke up and I was jazzed up about it again. And I know that it will be time to launch these things once I actually feel like the anxiousness of it is gone. The high buzz of, oh my God, yeah. And the low of like, oh my gosh, that's an awful idea. Once that goes away and I feel, usually it takes a couple of days for bigger ideas. Sometimes it takes longer than that. Once that buzz goes away, then I'll go, okay, I actually feel like I feel calm, yes, on this. And it's the same thing. I'm not designed to work methodically and necessarily cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I'm here to have these bursts of inspiration that come forth. And then I employ generators to come in and support me in carrying the actual thing through, like my own podcast. I push it out there and then I'm like, I need some generators to support me in doing all of the doing with it. And that's why I love generators and manifesting generators. So that's where I think to tie this back to the question you originally asked, which is like, how can this actually help someone? It actually pulls us into our own sovereignty because we're no longer looking for answers or how to live life or how to do things for ourselves according to anyone else's plan. We actually know ourselves because most people who hear about their human design go, oh my God, that's exactly me. You know, that's exactly how I do things. That really resonates with me. So yeah, it's owning our sovereignty and then we're not getting stuck in the mud so much.
I love that. And that explanation that you gave before about someone who's like, wow, this explains so much is how I feel about human design where, you know, I've had my chart read enough and things have popped up enough that I cannot conclude that it is or is not true. You know, like I'm trying to think from the perspective of somebody who's questioning all these things, right? So I have used human design and there has been a lot that resonated. That's beyond the point of a coincidence. And so because this stuff resonates so deeply and resonates with so many people, that makes me believe that it can't not be true. And so when I'm looking at all of these tools, wondering like what is something I can use and what is something that really resonates with me. And maybe this is the crossing the T's and dotting the I's pieces of my personality. That's like making sure that within all of the tools that I'm using are all the checks and balances there. When I look into human design, there have been too many things to say are a coincidence that they're so big that it really makes me buy into how relevant and real the this work is. And I think that's really cool. And yeah. It just hit me when you said like so many people that you work with, they're like, yeah, that makes so much sense.
Totally. And you know, I say with everything, you know, I know a lot of people, I have a friend who has this, she does this Facebook live show with someone every week, or she was doing it weekly, called Reluctantly Woo Woo. And like,
that's yeah.
Yeah. Like my thing is, take what resonates and leave what doesn't for everything in life. You know, the bottom line is I just went and did the Dr. Joe Dispenza conference this year. And he talks a lot about, you can't take information in that does not emotionally match where you're at. So if you're in an emotional place of, I don't know if I believe in the woo-woo stuff, then find the stuff that feels like a good segue and a good doorway for you, you know, that really resonates and aligns with where you are now. Because that's how we, you know, if you want to keep opening up and you want to keep learning, then I say, that's why I started using human design in the first place. Because for me, I would, you know, I started out just working solely as an intuitive medium and I would see what people's life purpose was. And I could pull all of this out of the ether. And people still, if they were in an emotional place and didn't believe it fully for themselves, I found that they had trouble following it. And so I found human design because human design's a map. There's a science behind it. Astrology is pretty well accepted by a lot of people. Even if you don't really believe in astrology, a lot of people will still be like, oh my God, what's my horoscope? You know, like there are people who still will look at it even if they don't really believe in it. Not everyone, but so... Again, like my biggest thing is take what resonates, leave what doesn't. The human design map to me is an entryway and a segue into spirituality that looks and feels more like science and more science-based. So
I love that. And I think that's a really great tool for people like the A type intuitive who's like, I'm intuitive and spiritual, but I need to know the facts and I need to know, I need a map.
Totally.
Okay, cool. How do you, what is, when you speak about getting people back to their intuition, what is that to you, the intuition?
I think everybody's intuitive. Like me personally, you know, I know you're a mom, correct?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have intuition around your kids and like what's going on with them? Mother's intuition.
Yes. And I've felt pretty strongly. I think again, cause I was somebody who always marched to the beat of their own drum, that like, I always went with like, that doesn't feel right to me. So yeah. I've always been like led with my intuition.
Awesome. Yeah. So to me, everybody's intuitive and everybody's intuition speaks to them in different ways. When we look at the way that our intuition speaks to us, it speaks to us through the same senses that our outer world speaks to us. So I can look around my room currently and see that there's flowers over there on the table. I'm using my eyeballs to see it. And when you have a download, so let's say you've always had a vision for yourself of owning a store, and you can visualize it in your mind's eye, like, man, it would look like this. And, you know, I don't know why the Schitt's Creek just popped in my head, the Rose Apothecary. That's immediately what just dropped in my head. But, you know, it's like, okay, you can see it in your mind, right? That to me is intuition. That's your soul and your higher self speaking to you and going, here's the vision, go and create it, right? And then you might use your gut, because you're sacral. You might use that gut. You just said it. That doesn't feel right to me, right? That's a no in my gut. You can start to follow that to take you to the vision that you've always had in your mind's eye. A lot of times people will say to me, like, how do I know if it's just a thought or if it's actually my intuition? And that's a great question, especially as it returns to vision and inner vision. And it's like, is it coming from love? Is this vision that I'm having expanding the world, or am I carrying and holding a vision of fear, you know, of I'm going to lose everything if I do this or whatever it may be. Intuition, I believe the higher self speaks to us all through love and through the energy of love. And I think intuition has been so mystified in so many ways and overcomplicated from what it actually needs to be. I mean, I teach a class called Being You Camp. We just had fall camp last weekend. And the second I start talking about intuition, and I actually teach on these senses, so psychic vision, intuitive vision, right? You can see it in my mind's eye. Feelings, clairsentience. Oh, I have chills down my back. Like, that totally resonates what you just said. I just got the tinglies all over my body. It's clairsentience. You know, looking at claircognizance. I don't know. I just know. And I don't know how I know. I just know. Bless you. and then clairaudience, you know, a song dropped in my head or a lyric dropped in my head, or I heard this word in my mind. It's like we're always receiving. Our antenna is always up. And because we've been conditioned, this is why I always start with human design for people, because we've been conditioned to go against it so much, right? If I walked into school and I knew that I didn't feel well last night, I didn't eat because I wasn't feeling well, and I only slept 3 hours, and my math teacher says, hey, Jess, it's time for you to take this test, and my gut's saying no, and I just have this no because I know I'm not going to pass it because I don't have enough sleep. I can't say no to my teacher. I'm going to go to the principal, right? So we've been even just in these very micro ways conditioned to go against our intuition and to go against those subtle cues. So for me, it's this reawakening to the subtlety of intuition. Your body knows what's right for you. Sometimes it's going to sound like a no in your head. He says, take the test, and your mind's like, no, you know, sometimes it's just going to be a gut feeling that you're going to get. But it's so subtle and it's so ingrained in us and it's so happening all of the time that I think it's just this constant rewiring, deconditioning, you know, moving away from I care what everybody else thinks and I need to make everybody else happy. It's one of the biggest ones, I think, especially for women. So start to pay attention. When I teach this class, what I was getting at before, once we talk about the clairs, we talk about the psychic and intuitive senses, everyone starts lighting up and they're like, oh my gosh, yeah. I always hear song lyrics, or, oh my gosh, yeah, I do get gut feelings. Oh my gosh, I walked into a bar, I saw the back of my husband's head and I knew he was going to be my husband. I didn't know how, I just knew, you know, that kind of stuff. It's here and it's here for us.
So is that kind of like deciphering that what part of your consciousness is yours and what part of your consciousness is picked up by somebody else?
Tell me what you mean. Sorry.
Like, I'm just thinking, in terms of all the, maybe my head is louder than others, but in terms of everything that's going on in my head, deciphering between what is mine and maybe the things that come through me as intuition and connection to my highest self, and what are just like, I was on social media, and so that information is also in my space. You know, like, how do we know what song lyrics are coming to us because of a meaning, or what song lyrics are coming to us because we listened to it yesterday?
Totally. Great question. I would say this is where I love the human design chart. This is where we can, this is where I believe human design and intuition like loop into each other, because when we're looking at the human design chart, like if I looked at your human design chart, which now I'm very curious to know what your human design chart looks like, by the way.
I meant to send it to you. That was so silly of me. Rookie mistake.
I know. Well, if you can send it now, even through the airwaves, I would totally be down to look at it if it's easily accessible. You know, certain people's charts, you're meant to get downloads for other people too. So you're meant to, you get a lot of ideas. You just get a ton of ideas, and they come through you, and sometimes they're for you and sometimes they aren't. Some people, you know, some people have an open mind center, and with an open mind center and an open head center, you're a good mind reader, which means, oh my gosh, can you send it via email? I'll look at it. And then we can talk to the listeners too, if you're okay with it a little bit.
No, I'm open about everything. I mean, I'm very curious. I'll text it and email it to you.
Yeah, text it to me. And then we can actually look at it, and then we can give people like tangible examples around you. So for example, if you have an open mind center, and my teacher uses this example all day. You told your husband you wanted to go to the Cheesecake Factory, and you were like, I gotta go. I gotta have cheesecake. I've been jonesing for it for 3 days. Suddenly you get to the Cheesecake Factory. You sit in a booth before we had to sit 6 feet apart. And there's a guy behind you, and you're sitting back to back with this guy. And suddenly, instead of cheesecake, you actually want like London Broil, like something totally different. Because you have an open mind center, you might be picking up on what that other person is actually wanting, because we pass information back and forth through our minds. So what I would say is it's discernment and it's learning yourself. And that's why learning yourself is so important. Before I knew any of this with human design, I had started my business as an intuitive, and I didn't realize that I had an open mind center, which means that I can be inspired by like a ladybug walking across the window. Or if I'm talking to somebody who's super inspiring, then I become super inspired by what they're talking about. Like, I mean, I started out, I did network marketing. I did this, I did that. I'd read a book. I'd want to do that thing. And I would get totally lost. And I didn't realize the mechanics of it for myself. So what I would say is, I always think human design first, and then that's going to inform you so that you can understand how intuition really comes through for you, because we're all always picking up on our environment. We're digesting a lot through social media, you know, through our eye, even just our eyeballs. So
I love that, because it is so abstract, intuition. Like, it is such an abstract field. And that's why, you know, different people have different clair
abilities.
I'm realizing now how you're bridging this and like anchoring it into human design. I think that's really cool. Emailed you, I think, I don't know how to download the whole thing, but hopefully what I sent you is enough for you to go off on.
I think I'm going to have, oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. So really interesting. Do you want me to dive in a little bit into your chart?
Yes.
Okay. So you're somebody who does have an open mind center. And as I was saying, remember the ideas thing I was saying a few moments ago, you actually are somebody who's meant to get ideas for yourself and ideas for other people. Do you find that like you have a lot of ideas flowing through your head at any one moment in time?
All the time. And this is actually an issue with my previous company, because I was like trying to roll them out, and it just like, and I had a business partner, and she was like, I just didn't know which, like every iteration I would have like a new idea, and it was hard for her to work with me. So then that company stopped, but then we picked up this one, and this one, I guess also with like maturity, because I'm 37 now, I've been able to like just focus on one thing, even though I've got like all other ideas going.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes the ideas are for you and sometimes they're not. Like, you may have, when you, for example, and this is where the unconscious knowingness can happen. You might be sitting here on this call with me and suddenly be thinking about having this idea for people who are reluctantly woo-woo and want to, like, you suddenly have this idea of this really cool program that could be done. And you're like, oh my God, we need to follow this for our company. But it actually might be for me. Like, it genuinely might be for me. So the way that you as a sacral being must, but like, you can actually sit and you want to check in with your gut. And the question you ask is this for me? And if you get uh-huh, then you want to follow it. If you get uh-uh, then you don't want to follow it because you have a very open mind center. Same thing, which means you probably also may be picking up on things that I'm thinking about that you're thinking that they should be for you, but they're actually not. And so just to start to have that awareness for you, when ideas start to come through, it's really important for you to ask your gut every single time, is this an uh-huh or is it an uh-uh? And as a generator, you know, you are going to be someone who's going to want to cross your T's and dot your I's. But what's really interesting about your chart is that you also, your sun is in the gate 53, and the gate 53 is all about starting. So you may find you get a lot of stuff started and you might need some help finishing it.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. And I just had someone read my astrological chart who said it's hard for you to finish things. And that I think is true, which also I thought I was designed to have babies basically to like start and create, because those are like by default, by starting and raising you, and then you leave them out in the world. It's kind of like my thing.
So let's actually like literally pick that apart for a second. To me, that's your intuition speaking to you, telling you, right? Our mind is always going to look for logic. I'm supposed to make a lot of babies, right? Which could be cool, but like you're literally meant to make a lot of babies. Like you're meant to give birth to a lot of things and start things.
Yeah, this person who read my chart, I was asking about parenting and it was in the same place as creation. So it was also like starting things, but how do I monetize on constantly starting things? Because I also wanted a company where I just got paid to tell people ideas. Like you should just do this.
Which again, so here we go, right? This is where your intuition knows what's right for you. Have a lot of ideas. That's the gate 11 that comes off the mind. Just ideas, starting things. I don't know. Do you want to consult with people? Do you want to?
I just want to make a lot of money. That's basically my goal.
Okay. So in human design, the way that we think of this, right, is and this is where the mechanics of manifesting come in. I want to make a lot of money. I want to be successful. The universe is very abundant. And I think right now we're in a time where it seems like it's not, but it's because a structure is crumbling, and a structure that limits how much abundance we think that we can have is starting to crumble. And so that's the old ways of making money, the old ways of doing things starting to crumble. So what I would say is, and it's scary, we want to hold on to what we've known, but something so much more abundant is coming in, especially as I see more and more people opening up to spirituality and the woo. Like, it's no surprise to me that more and more people are starting to rely on intuition or go more towards the metaphysical. So what I would say for you is, why don't you start sitting with in your life, I love getting things started. You know, dear universe, I love getting things started. I love birthing ideas. You also have the gate 50, which is a lot about values and responding, like nourishing and sustaining life through values. So maybe there's certain values that you sit with that you go, I really believe in honoring people. I really like whatever your values are, and say, universe, I am ready and open for the ideas that are going to help me understand how I can get people started on things. I can bring forth ideas. I can innovate. And then I don't necessarily have to finish it.
Amen.
And I want to be successful. Go ahead.
Well, no, I appreciate this, because what's going on in my head is like, I've had several, like I had an MLM and then I had another company and then another company and then I had a Reiki practice, and all of these have not really succeeded. But which I've come to the podcast, I feel pretty confident about, because I don't know why, but I just feel very dedicated to this. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's the way to something. And so I feel very confident about that. But there is a bit of like, well, was it about all these other things that didn't work?
So if you had to ask yourself, what was it about the other things that didn't work?
Something that I've been coming to recently, which is so fascinating that I read it on your website, was that it has to come from within uniquely of me, as opposed to like the MLM was like, it feels like everything that I've done tries to go more and more inward, right? Like the MLM was like, I just was like a piece in this big puzzle. And then as a entrepreneur in a company doing retail basically. And it was like, but then the product was the box. And then I did Reiki, but it was like a service that wasn't unique to me. And so now it feels like it like all needs to come unique within me, from me, like of me.
Totally. And what's interesting is you have a lot that comes, you actually have this like double activation of this gate 10, which is all about self-love too. So, you know, for you, it's going to be very important to nurture self-love, like through whatever it is that you're creating. You also are here to be, you know, you have this G center activated. And so you're somebody who's, you're here to be yourself as well. So the fact that you can actually bring your personality through on a podcast is probably great for you. You know, you are very open emotionally. So I would also say, like, in terms, I'm sure the Reiki was great too, because you could probably feel whatever people were feeling. But, you know, as I look, even as I'm looking at your chart, because there's no set, it's not like, hey, Stephanie, you should be this because of this. But actually what's interesting is that you have your throat open. And that's often people who have an open throat are here to become masterful in language and using language. So you interviewing other people is great for you. Oprah has an open throat. How does she amplifies the voices of other people. You have coming off of the throat to the channel. What's going to ground you? I don't know to what. Oh no, this, your chart is funky. The body graph, they're a little bit different. The actual symbols on the body graph. No, it's not. It's not a bad thing. It's just different than the one that I'm used to. But it's interesting. This is the moon on here. You might be driven by more spiritual pursuits. You have the channel as your drive. The moon is our values and basically what's going to drive us. So for you having, it's not the moon. Your symbols are all funky and they're different.
Anyways, yes, probably that sounds about right.
I'm like, this is a very different one than what I've seen. Those are the north nodes and the south nodes. I apologize. Anyways, regardless, you know, you might be more excited by spiritual pursuits, even if you are a little reluctant to it or whatever it is.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it, but I can get spun out pretty quick in it. And I just, for some reason at this phase in my life, have become skeptical of both sides. Like I was not in woo at all. And then I went deep into like all the woo. And now I'm coming back out and kind of like recalibrating of like, okay, where are we? What is this? And totally. Sort of assessing from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, I think you're moving, you know, you've got the 57, which is in its claircognizance. You just have this clear knowing. You don't know how you know, you just know. So always trusting yourself. And I would say biggest hallmark is come back to your trusting your gut. When you have an idea or you want to try this or you want to try that, your gut is always going to, it's always going to lead you the right way. And you're somebody who's here to be yourself, you know, to stand, to be seen as yourself. So
I love that. And that's how I feel, is that like within all the things that I'm learning now is like, you know, I want to be someone who can reflect like being spiritual, but also like I can never eat popcorn and it's not like down my shirt, you know, like showing the person who is herself and can be somebody who can't eat popcorn, but also knows things.
Totally. Oh, I love that.
I am curious about, so thank you for so much for that. That was really awesome. If anything else pops in, I love information. Where did your evolution come from discovering that you're intuitive to then finding human design, to linking it and to then bringing it into, cause I know you do a variety of things, but it seems like your biggest focus is on helping individuals and their getting back to their personal gifts. What did the evolution into this point look like? Like where did you end up with here? Why did you end up?
Yeah. Totally. Something that just popped in that I wanted to share too, because I was closing out your chart and I saw this. You're your third line, which means you're here for trial and error, which means you're probably going to try a bunch of stuff and figure out what you like from it. So there's no judgment in that. I'm a sixth line, which means I was trial and error till about 30. And a lot of sixth lines are like, what happens if I jump off the roof? I don't know. Maybe I'll break my leg. Well, I did it one time and I jumped off and I broke my leg, but maybe this time I'll fly. So let me try it. So like you're designed for trial and error. It's going to inform your life.
That makes sense. I joined the army out of college and everyone's like, why'd you do that? I was like, I don't know. I thought it would be cool. And then we moved to like a farmhouse here on 9 acres. And I was like, why'd you do that? I was like, I don't know. I kind of thought it'd be a cool experience.
There you go. There's your third line. Awesome. So you're designed to do it that way. And why? Because now you're going to teach other people, like even through this platform, is like, you're going to teach them what you learned through trial and error and doing a bunch of stuff. So how did I get here? I started out as a speech therapist. I worked with kids with autism and I worked with adults with brain injury. And I got to my first 9-to-5 job school, 9-to-5 job in a school, and was like, I cannot do this for 40 years. Like I cannot do this for 40 years. Loved speech therapy, loved my kids, but the idea of having to go into an office building and work 9-to-5 was just like, this is not going to happen for me. Plus I felt like, there were gaps in the healing, in hospitals and in clinics and all that. There was so much around behavior and around, counseling for the families. Like a lot of the kids' success was, I don't want to say it was always dependent because this isn't true, but I found that family, you know, different families with different resources had different levels of success. It just didn't feel like we were getting to the root of the problem for a lot of things. There was a lot of behavioral issues. And a lot of it just came from conditioning. Like, and I felt like we weren't honoring kids for who they were all of the time. I felt like I was trying to fit kids into a box and I just didn't like that. So I went to a psychic and was like, hey, I can't do this. What do I do? Tell me what I need to do with my life, because I followed the plan. I did everything I was supposed to do. And there's just no way I can do this. Oh, and PS, sometimes I see dead people and I would really love to learn if I can do that. You know, like, I don't know what this is, but I feel like I can do what you do. So if you can guide me, that would be cool. So I ended up taking one of her classes on intuitive development. And I remember just feeling so much like, I know I can do this, but I'm also very reluctantly woo. Like, what are people going to think of me? And like, this is super weird. And for probably like a good 2 years, but I was doing intuitive readings on the side because I would tell friends about it and then they would tell somebody else. So I would be doing these readings and just kind of having fun. And I got into like coaching and learning about coaching. And eventually what I found was that people who were coming to me for readings were going through their own spiritual awakening. And so they were asking me to help them understand basically what I said to the psychic before, you know, that I went to. They were saying that to me. And I'm like, okay, so there's something here. So I started teaching people how to open up to their intuition and their intuitive gifts. Which is so much easier than people think. I'm like, I could teach anybody to connect as long as they're just open and willing to try and have fun. Like, it's so much easier than we think. And then that led me to human design, because again, there was that gap where I found people, you know, you could say I have all of these ideas, but then I show it to you on this map and you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe my old business partner kind of got on my case about it, or not saying putting words in her mouth, but let's say she was getting frustrated, right? You might be like, well, Jess, I know I have a lot of ideas and I see you're downloading this from the ether, but it's probably not true. And there's still something wrong with me. If that was the story. And so I found human design gave people a map back to themselves, and I could give them this map that said, yeah, you've got the gate 57, which is claircognizant. So you can trust that you know what you know, and you don't know how you know, you just know. And then that, when I would teach somebody how to go in to really connect with their intuition in an intentional way, because connecting with your intuition to me is connecting with the quantum field. It is understanding the mechanics of how we manifest and create. It's so much more than just, can I talk to a dead person or not? You know, it's like so much of, it's our North Star. For me, it's our North Star. It's our guiding light. When our environment tells us no, our intuition says there's something here. We got to keep going with this. So I find that I help people trust themselves so much more and honor who they uniquely are so much more than especially with the human design than without it, you know, with that map, something tangible to go back to. And it's easy, right? You can always refresh your memory and be like, oh yeah, that thing is there. You know, when I forget or I have a bad day or get frustrated or angry, for me, it's anger. So again, just for all of us, like if I had to leave people with anything, it's just like, trust yourself above all else, like trust the feelings you have, even trust your frustration, because your frustration's telling you, you might be trying to do things in a way that's not aligned for you or that you need to rest or whatever the thing may be. So that's kind of how I got here, was more so from dissatisfaction and then wanting to learn myself. And then from there having a problem solve, right? Well, they kind of believe this, but if I have this thing, then it helps them trust themselves more. So that's how I started bringing it all together.
When you decided to make the change and become a professional in this world, was there ever a part of you that's like, what the shit am I doing? Or like once you make, okay.
Oh yeah. I told my parents, that I was now an intuitive medium. And they were like, I'm still single, but I was single at the time. They're like, you might not want to tell people that on a first date, you know, like you might not want to tell them that. So like there was all this, I just didn't. And I lived in the Northeast. I live in Colorado now, where like the woo is a little bit more traditional. I think it's more practiced here. And so I didn't have a lot of friends. I just seemed like like I'd lost my marbles, like really, I think, to all of them. But, you know, now I'm out here and it's totally different, and they all get it now. They all love it and accept it. But yeah, totally, totally felt crazy.
Yeah. I feel like there's a phase where everyone's like, oh, you're so crazy. And then like within a year, they're like, but what does it say about me? You know, exactly. Like, like, but what does my chart say?
Exactly. You're nuts. And yeah.
You know, saying, can you read my chart for me, please?
Exactly. My brother-in-law is actually like, he's not woo-woo at all. Like at all. He's an engineer. He lives in New York. Like he's very traditional. And I started telling him about numerology and human design. And like, he'll be like, we're both sevens in numerology. So he's like, so what's it mean to be a seven? You know, he's like, he's curious. He's not in, but he's curious. So yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's really cool, because I think something else people don't understand is that people in the spiritual world, most of them sort of came into it from an awakening later in life, and also had to do their internal battle of like, what am I doing? Is this what I'm going to do? Like, you are a speech therapist trained. I'm sure you had years of school and money spent, and to then decide to do this, there's also that battle within you that you have to come through. But I think it's really cool how nicely you own it, and how much you really seem to embrace it. And it's really refreshing. And I love the human design element. To somebody who is listening and this is piquing their curiosity to get started within their own intuition, do you have any tips, aside from obviously taking your course, to help them gain a little more confidence about this curiosity that they have?
Yes. So here's what I would say. I always tell people to start here. If you're wanting to just kind of think about intuition in general, if you're not like human design, let me jump in first there. What I would say is ask yourself, how does intuition come through for me? And I would go back to those three major moments in your life when you went, gosh, I should have trusted my intuition on this. You dated that person. You had a bad feeling about it. You're laughing because you know, right? We've all done it. Had a bad feeling about it. I didn't trust myself. I can think of this one person I dated, and I remember when I met them, my gut like dropped down into the floor. And I was like, but I'm crazy. I'm being judgmental. I shouldn't think that. And it's like, okay, Jess, the next time you get that feeling, you're going to trust it. right? So go back through three defining moments in your life, or even minor moments in your life, when you didn't trust your intuition and you know that you should have. What did it feel like? Was there a feeling associated with it? Was it physical? Was there a thought process that kept going through your head that you just couldn't get out, that was bugging you? Did you just know, and you didn't know how you knew, you just knew? Go back and start to look at those things, because I think we build trust by going out into the field and trying things. So look at those things. And then I would say, this is an amazing time, because I'm finding a lot more people are spontaneously actually opening up at this point in time. So I would say, start to notice what you notice. Did you think about Susie this morning and then she called you later that day? Did you have a dream where your best friend was pregnant and then a couple of days later she had told you she had a baby? Or you just had been having dreams about babies and then you found out your sister-in-law was pregnant, you know, a couple of days later? Whatever the thing is, just go through some of those little, I don't know how I knew, I just kind of knew things, and ask yourself, what sense did they come in through? Feeling, thinking, hearing, seeing. And then start to mark it down, write it in your notes section on your phone, write it in a notebook, so that when you have it again, you start to trust it more.
I like that. I really like that your advice is really catered to the individual, as opposed to, I feel like a lot of the things that I've seen have sort of been like this one size fits all. But I think this is coming from also your appreciation for human design, where you're just directing people back into themselves to think, see what is working for them. And I really like that. Yeah. I'm super interested in energetic hygiene. I know we're running out of time, but are there any, like, I think I'm terrible about energetic hygiene. Any like top three tips for people to protect themselves or keep themselves?
Yeah. Great question. So a couple things. Number one, and this is something I've classically also been awful about energetic hygiene as well. And I was traveling the world, moving like every week or 2 weeks somewhere new. So I was like depleted and burning myself out every few weeks. So what I would say is, first and foremost, something that I've learned from work with Dr. Joe Dispenza, if anybody is also kind of like in the reluctant area, he's great because he uses science. His stuff's all backed by science. Is to set your energy every day. So for me, you know, I watch this little mind movie every morning of like where I'm headed and where I'm going and like, what do I want to create? So I'd say keep things in your environment that support you in understanding what you want to create for yourself. Because I think that, and meditation can support you in that too, even just like visualizing it. In the morning, you might not even know exactly what you want, but you know that you want your kids to listen to you some more, or you know that you want more time with your partner, or you might know that you want to start writing again. Like, you don't have to know this whole vision of everything you want and picture all of it. Like, start with something small if that's all that you know. I couldn't tell you what I wanted like a year ago. I just was like, I'll just see what happens. But my life has changed since I've started to actually consciously understand more of what I want. So what I would say is set even just an understanding of starting to follow some of those desires, and then sit with them like in the morning, even just visualizing for a few minutes. If you like to move, you're a music person, put on your favorite song and dance for 3 minutes and think about that thing that you want to create. Because what you're actually doing is you're filling your own energy system up with yourself. And if your cup is full with yourself, other energy, there's no space for other energy to get in. So that's what I would say. So even for you, if it's like the podcast, you really want to like have this top podcast, you know, imagine in the morning, like get up and dance to one of your favorite songs in the morning and like set your energy to that. You don't have to know how, you don't know exactly what it's going to look like. There may be some favorite people that you want to, the dream people that you want to interview on the podcast, but set your energy to yourself in the morning. Number two, I always surround myself with white light too. Like, I'll always sit down for a few minutes and I'll imagine, if it's like middle of the day, I'll imagine filling myself up with a bubble of white light, 6 feet in all directions, all through my aura. And then the third thing I would say is, for me, it's going out in nature and moving my body. I just, that always, it dispels the energy. If I feel like I'm energetically overwhelmed, you know, I live in an apartment building. I can hear the people above me walking. So if I can hear that and I feel like my energy is sort of getting encroached on, I'm like, go outside, dispel the energy, walk, move your body and come back to yourself.
Cool. What about if there's leaks? Like, I feel like even just within the podcast, I haven't been able to finish some sentences and there have been like misinterpretations with communication. Like it just felt like there is a hole or like a leak. Does that occur?
So my thought process immediately is that you have an undefined throat center. And sometimes people with undefined throat centers will have trouble finishing a sentence or completing like a full thought, or there can feel like leaky energy.
Because we're already on to the next thought before we're done talking.
Okay, yeah.
That makes sense. I know. I always wish there was a way to get a projector to like push through the thoughts. Cause like my handwriting is really sloppy. Like I just can't get anything out fast enough from what is coming into my brain.
Yeah. What I would say too, I mean, and that's also probably the channel part for you. Like you have the channel that comes through your throat, like you're meant to. So if it's writing things out and just quickly getting them out. Sometimes people with an open throat center feel like other people don't take their voice seriously or they get skipped over. So that's why I love that you're doing this podcast too. Again, you're great amplifying the voices of other people and being yourself. That's where I think we can start to see it as less being judgmental of ourselves and more going, okay, so I know that maybe there's just boundaries for you to set around speaking. And I would say boundaries, like honestly, for anybody who feels like there's leaky energy, boundaries, get really friggin' clear on what it is that you are okay with or not okay with. I had a point where people were just like contacting me and texting me, like even just clients being like, Jess, here's what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And it was like, I love all of you. And there needs to be a boundary that's honored, right? So it's this energy of then having to state it from a place of compassion and honoring of self first.
Amazing. That's so cool. Thank you so much. Yes, it is really helpful. And there is also something about like I think I speak to like that people aren't always ready to hear, and they get very like taken aback sometimes with what I say. And so I have to like learn how to not go for the throat all the time.
Permission. I always say asking permission. Is it okay for me to share this with you? This is how I'm feeling. Like, I know this is going to be a little direct. Are you open for it? So that way people don't go right immediately. Their aura is going to put like porcupine spikes on it and be like, no. Yeah.
Cool. You are the coolest. Where can people find you so they can learn more about you and get your tips and also potentially work with you?
Yeah, thank you. I think you're the coolest too. I'm so glad to be here. They can find me at jesstheintuitive.com. So my business as it stands, if you're listening to this in like, I don't know, February or March, like later on, you may find me at jessbubbico.com, which is B-U-B-B-I-C-O. But if you enter Jess the Intuitive, it may reroute you, but this is my future self thinking, helping out my current self. So jesstheintuitive.com. And if I'm not there anymore, you can find me at jessbubbico.com.
Awesome. And I do appreciate your website. I feel like it's very, sometimes I feel like I go to these websites and there's just like a million different things. And I find yours is really easy to navigate. And the same way that you're communicating now, I feel like I could process everything. You know, you could talk about stuff that's really far out, but you bring it back to the human design or just some sentence that I'm like, oh, I can process what she's saying. And I feel like your website also is like really approachable and I don't feel overwhelmed by it. It's really well done.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm I'm Stephanie Wood, and you've been listening to The Geode, your guide to modern wellness and woo, the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, and if you haven't yet, please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review us. You can join me next week for another fun conversation. Until then, I love you.